This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 30th of January, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Well, good morning, Bahamas. I have to say thank you to my producer. I don't know what the name of that song is, audience, but oh, I like it. I can get the name from the producer in a moment. I have to share this because he surprised me this morning. He surprised me with something sweet. I hope you all like that song as much as I like it. That's a nice one. We just got so much talent in this country. Undeniable, right? I think the real question is, how do we create an environment where the talent can organize itself and maximize its potential individually and collectively, right? For the benefit of the individual and the benefit of the collective. Just so much talent. That's why systems are so important. Systems are important. And there's always this question put out, like, what more you want the government to do? What you expect the government to do? That ain't a government responsibility, right? But the truth is, the government has a responsibility to create an environment in which systems can operate, in which Bahamians can create their own systems when needed to maximize their talent, their resources, their efforts. What's disheartening for generations of Bahamians is the feeling that our government completely and totally understands that obligation, their duty to create an environment in which people can make better choices for themselves. They understand it, but it feels like they feel no obligation to do that for Bahamians or for all Bahamians. It feels like you have prioritized foreigners, right? When it comes to creating an environment in which people can operate systems, operate within systems, create new systems, maximize their talent, their effort, and their resources. It appears as if you're only interested in creating that environment for foreigners and the wealthiest of the foreigners as well, to the point we're through this entire conversation about migration, right? We have barely talked about the fact that some migrants are illegals and some migrants are expats. Some migrants are laborers and some migrants are expats. No matter how they got here, no matter what they're doing here. And so it's important for the government to understand. Let's take it out of the realm of politics. It's important for the government to understand that its main function is its operation for the service and benefit of the Bahamian people. Not for the political construct called the nation state, but for the Bahamian people. And the biggest question Bahamians have been asking is, what is the return on investment and where is the return on investment? Even in this current conversation about the migrant crisis, Bahamians have lived with Haitians, documented, undocumented, for decades and decades. Their frustration does not lie with the question of why is the migrant here? The question lies with where is the return on investment? What is the value to me of sharing this space with others? Why am I being asked to tolerate migrants and undocumented migrants if only business owners, upper middle class and lower class and upper class people benefit from their presence here, while I, the ordinary citizen, has been relegated to fighting for crumbs, fighting the migrant, fighting other Bahamians for crumbs? What is the return on investment? Now, today is really an open line day. The numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. In fact, the Commissioner of Police held his yearly, quote-unquote, meet the press to present crime statistics for 2022 last week. I wanted to go through some of the stats that were released over the weekend and in today's paper with a number of questions. Then I looked at this morning's papers, and I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much to talk about. So we're going to get right into it. Again, the numbers to call are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Now, don't mind me. I create notes for my show. There are things that I want to talk about. Don't feel like you're going to throw me totally off what I want to talk about. I could always get back to that. The first thing I want to say is, why y'all call it a meet the press? Why do y'all call it that? I want to suggest calling it something different. I want to suggest focusing on the purpose. It's not to meet the press. It's to disseminate the crime statistics for 2022. And to give the press, I imagine, an opportunity to interrogate you on the statistics, pun intended, to get a better sense of what they mean, right? And to delve into some more things, things that I am actually very interested in. And then some of the other headlines this morning, PMH in crisis, the JoBeth Colby matter in the Tribune's headline. Now, the Guardian's headline is Fernanda, matter involving Colby Davis is closed. I like the Tribune headline, which is, quote, insufficient evidence, close quote, over Colby Davis. You know why I like that headline? Because there was a time ago when I was being stalked by telephone, and I didn't want to use any of my family or political connections to try and have it resolved, right? Like, I wanted to just do it the way that the other citizens would have to do it. And after about 3.5 years, the matter was resolved. Let me tell you how it was resolved. After waiting for an appointment with the then Prime Minister, Hubert Ingram, waiting over 6 months, and he actually, there was an election, he left office. Then I made another appointment to see the then Prime Minister, Perry Christie, who'd sent me to the Commissioner of Police's office, who was there waiting for me, right? And said that they were going to deal with the matter. And several months later, two senior officers came to my house and said, well, but Telco told us there was insufficient evidence to warrant further investigation. That's why this Tribune headline is extremely interesting to me, because I tell you why. Insufficient evidence suggests that you believe that something happened, you just don't have enough evidence to go forward on the matter. Maybe it is that, like the cost analysis. It would cost too much money to go forward. Like, there's insufficient evidence. It would cost too much money to go forward with the evidence that we have, right? Or, like, there's insufficient evidence. Like, it's just too difficult to get all the actors together in the courtroom to have a case. Like that, I don't know. I just want to say that when you say insufficient evidence, it suggests to me that you believe that something happened, or even better, you know something happened, but you don't have sufficient evidence to bring it before the courts. What we would like to see, though, is something a bit more transparent than the Elizabeth MP has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing, and Prime Minister Philip Davis has since defended her, saying he was satisfied with her account of what happened that day. Could we not hear from the police officer involved? If we go further, Commissioner Fernanda told reporters, well, he declined to comment for it, out that there was, quote unquote, a lot of talk on social media, adding that accurate facts and evidence were used to conclude the matter. Why can't we have access to the accurate facts and evidence? In fact, you know, in what I assume was the pursuit of transparency, the government was very forthcoming with information. Like the Minister of National Security, Wayne Monroe, told us frankly about the conversation he had with the officer, right? Like, what is the evidence that we didn't have access to? Why can't we hear from the officer involved? Why won't you name him? Right? Will you release a report by the senior officer whom the Minister of National Security directed his inquiries to? Can you answer the question of why the Minister of National Security felt the need to engage the officer at all? Surely that's not his boss. Anyway, I just want to say that that is not transparent at all. I guess it's better than those of us who are still waiting for the Oban file. I guess it's better than those of us who are still waiting if we will ever have a statement about the report produced about the investigation into the generator fire at BPL. I don't think we can have this. I guess it's better than that, hey. It's just still not good enough. So you have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything cool. Pop here in the morning, Bahamas.
Yes,
Aaron, you better behave yourself and stop asking these questions. That's saying dead with the Minister of Transport. If you don't stop this, you will not be one of them who will be selected from the government to be on contract to work for the government from this radio station as a talk show host.
Oh, boy.
So you better let that dead. and what you should be talking about, I guess, is Shanisha, the former minister in the F&M government. But don't talk about the transport minister, because you wouldn't be one of them to get a job from the government. To be contracted from the government from this radio station as a talk show host. So you gotta let that there. Don't say nothing else about the transport minister. Yeah, we didn't hear from the police.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a contract from the government to work for the government like Warren McCartney, then you better shut up. Keep up the work. Good work.
Good day, sir. Good day, sir. I'm having a problem now. All I want to do is talk about traffic. I wish they would clear this up so we could get to the traffic matters. But these things are important. I can tell you why. There is concerning allegations coming out of Abaco as to the treatment of Mr. Kai Mills in a particular matter. I just want to say to Mr. Kai Mills, people are watching. But I want you all to use Mr. Kai Mills as an example. Mr. Kai Mills is very meticulous about documenting himself and what he is doing, right? I think that's a very good thing. If you're going to call yourself a social activist or an advocate, right? Civil rights, civic rights, social justice, that you must document what it is that you are doing. It's hard work. And it's very stressful, especially if you've gone through something and then now you have to sit down and go through it again as you document it. But we got to do the hard work. We got to be responsible when you're doing this type of work. Here's a text. Is government using local companies to do all these software development for new portals, website, etc., or foreign companies? Can government declare how much money they are paying to overseas companies to do these jobs that are not being advertised locally? Do you know there is a floating platform out to sea off Ghost Slow Bend? It has been there for weeks and waiting for boating accident before it is removed. Well, I know that the ministry responsible for the environment is extremely busy right now. We still haven't had a final declaration on the status of the cleanup effort for the Onega Traveler in Abaco. There have been reports and claims of, in particular, one boat that in near to New Providence, I think, that may have been leaking contaminants into the water. But the Ministry of Environment needs a major boost in its budget so it could get about engaging, you know, assessing, investigating, looking for derelict vehicles, water vehicles, boats, barges in our waters. Big job. Another text, Ms. Green, Inland Revenue was on earlier. Based on a statement, businesses under 100,000 licenses will be processed, but they ain't stressing. Might as well, she say, you all ain't priority. Now, I did not hear that statement. I was listening to a bit of the show this morning, and I apologize. I can't comment directly on that because I didn't hear her say that. But I will say this. Department of Inland Revenue is an extremely important department, entity, agency in the government. It collects money to pay people. It's very, very important. And the Department of Inland Revenue, I think, has taken a very good, like they've had a very good start, and they're performing beyond many of the other ministries and agencies in terms of the pace, you know, the pace of doing business. But I want to remind them that not only do they need to maintain that pace, they need to increase that pace steadily increase that pace. Why? Because you are the benchmark. You're the benchmark for the rest of the government. You are the benchmark for the rest of the government. And one of the continuous governments, one of the, take out the partisan politics, biggest issue is their inability to move at the pace of the world. Right? And certainly their inability to move at the pace of the development that they're trying to create in their own country. And so their Department of Inland Revenue, I think I may have to have Mr. Mark Turnquest from the Small Business Association on to talk about that and talk about the need to find balance and prioritizing small, medium-sized establishments as well as these major, major businesses. Another text. Texas says, listen, I think I have found it. I think I have it. Common ground between the Haitians and Bahamians. So we could see eye to eye. Say, look here, if the Haitians could bring back the 99-cent breakfast, that will solve all social disagreements. Dear Texter, I know you said that tongue-in-cheek, but I want you to know that you are on to something, right? Like, that's how sort of marginalized or minority groups make inroads into the broader society, by providing a service that's needed across the board, every constituent, right? And that 99 cents breakfast served every single person. Because you used to see even the biggest shots, the biggest of big shots, standing on the line at the breakfast stand sometimes. Now, maybe they were buying 10 breakfasts for the office for 99 cents apiece, but they were there. I think that is a great, idea. I got another text here saying, Aaron, did Christy hit you with "that's not my portfolio"? Talking about you don't want to talk about that matter. No, no. It's you got to be very careful. First of all, there's a rule. You can't talk about matters before the court. Now, the Lanisha Roll matter is not before the court, although the Adrian Gibson matter is before the court. But this, when you're talking about politically exposed people in this politically charged environment, then you got to be very careful how you approach these matters. Got another text here. I think this is in reference to Inland Revenue. Guess they're getting assessment numbers and landlord names, landlord's name in shanty towns from the Haitians who do business in the bush. Okay. Dear Texas, you know, there's a very large percentage of Bahamians living in shanty towns, right? And that's a part, part of the issue with knocking down shanty towns, right? Or maybe we'll get into this on Wednesday a bit more. The first is that there are lots of Bahamians living in shanty towns. And we're not talking about people who say, look here, I'm a Bahamian in waiting. I'm waiting until I turn 18 so I could apply, or I could get my paperwork approved, right? Depending on which legal theory you believe. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Bahamians. We're talking about people who you know is Bahamian. We're talking about the people who used to live next to you in Yellow Eldo or Elizabeth Estates. We're talking about the people you left in the Family Islands and you came to Nassau for work, and now they come to Nassau because there's nothing else to try do on the Family Island. They are the people who are living in shanty towns. Dear caller, call back. Producer, let's watch that call. That's very important to remember that. There are Bahamians living in shanty towns. The next thing is this. Who hook up the utilities? Like, there's a question of investigating properly to determine who is responsible for the shanty town's access to utilities. Absolutely. Dear Texter, I did watch the game. I'm holding that for Friday. Okay. So the crime report was released last week. The yearly Meet the Press. Again, I can reiterate. Change the name, please. This is not a celebrity event. You know, this ain't that. This is a crime report. We start here. Well, this is where I want to start. Police commissioner said there was an alarming increase in reported unlawful sex cases last year. There were 139 reported cases in 2022, an 11% increase over 2021. He said as he pleaded with parents to monitor their children's social media activity. In New Providence, there were 94 victims. In Grand Bahama, there were 28 victims. And throughout the Family Islands, there were 17 victims. If we look at the victim demographics, 61 of the victims were aged 14 to 16. 61 of the victims were aged 14 to 16. And under 14, 48 of the victims were under the age of 14. I want to stick a pin there. I appreciate the commissioner's attempt to appeal to the parents of these children. to live up to their moral, ethical, and in some cases statutory duties to provide sufficient care and supervision for their children. I appreciate that, Commissioner. I want you to know that. But I'm going to need you to emphasize your focus on deterring the predators from being rapey. I'm going to need you to focus heavily, right, on persuading predators to stop preying on little people. Now, it would be great if we could get another demographic breakdown, right? Particularly for those categories under 14 and 14 to 16. Under 14 and 14 to 16, it would be great to have a breakdown of the age of the suspect or the perpetrator, right? The age of the suspect or the perpetrator in comparison to the age of the child. I think that's important. So let's stick a pin here. I'm very concerned about the shift from the term statutory rape to the term unlawful sexual intercourse. I think the term statutory rape stood as a greater deterrent, right, from unlawful sexual intercourse. But more importantly, this. More importantly, this. Young people are sexual beings. That doesn't mean that you get the right to have sex with them. It doesn't even mean that they should be experiencing their sexuality in that way, right? Like with intimacy with other people. Doesn't mean that. But what it means is that a 15-year-old in a relationship with a 17-year-old may not constitute rape. Maybe it shouldn't even constitute unlawful sexual intercourse. Right? 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. But if we're talking about a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, right? A 13-year-old and a 17-year-old. If we're talking about a 15-year-old and a 25-year-old, a 15-year-old and a 45-year-old. Producer, let's go to that call. Then we're having some problems. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, thanks. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'd like to thank you for the statement that you made when you was talking about who does immigration benefit, right?
Yeah.
And then the lower class people would have these encounters with the pros and cons of immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it's designed to benefit the status quo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to thank C.A. Marie also for his disclosures on the Political Review, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then we know where the anger and the blame should be pointed at. Mr. Nui made that quite clear with his data on the demographics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm glad you brought this topic up because I'm wondering, what do politicians read? I'm wondering. And then I say that because, you know, when people are intelligent, I don't even say educated, because everyone educated is not intelligent, because they think everyone else is not.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, in the PM statement, right, I know Brave mean as well, but then he said he taught a hospital, but I mean, this hospital was like that for years, so what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
then Mr. Brave, my learned friend, a graduate of St. John's, then he should have known that all they had to do was pace pros and cons of illegal migration, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cons outweigh the pros. And, you know, there are pros to migration. We know mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
Diversity of labor markets, sharing of knowledge, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then let's look at the cons. The stress on the government budget, public services, overcrowding, language and cultural barriers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gender imbalance, because more men come than women. So this is, like I told people every, you know, Ms. Green, it is hard in life. I don't know if philosophy taught me this or whatever, but I come to realize there are pros and cons to everything. There's pros and cons to riding a car. There's pros and cons to sitting down too long, pros and cons to wearing shoes for too long. So what I'm saying is in life, there's a pros and cons to everything. There's a pros and cons to taking medication.
Mm-hmm.
So we must have these type of outlooks. And so when a person is educated, they feel as if when they come on the radio, they are more interested in their voice sounding harmonious and mellifluous than really talking sense. Some people are good at talking nonsense but making it sound like a sense. A lot of people are good at that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, I just want you to know, right? My daughter's first cousin, fiance, died because he couldn't get a dialysis treatment from the hospital.
Yeah.
This is the second friend I had died. He went to a private entity. He didn't have insurance, I guess, and they turned him down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was hurtful because they could have set up a payment program. So I don't know where these doctors are and who owned the businesses. I wouldn't call any name. I call it on another show. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is there's no love. All right? So I don't want these people to believe there's some love out there. Take care of yourself and try avoid the hospital because right now, I was at the clinic. I was supposed to get a date for the surgery. I got a hernia exercising.
Mm-hmm.
A hernia exercising. And you won't believe what I'm going to have to go through just to get a date. I'll keep you updated.
Yes, sir.
All right? Because, you know, healthcare shows they don't care. And then another very, very important thing that I want Mr. Darwell and everybody to know. Because Mr. Darwell, this burden just come on him. And I'd like him to try his best. But I don't want you to give me no euphemistic narratives. The schools in the Bahamas, none of them have cafeterias. So then we have these people serving the young children anything, right? There's no oversight. And then what happens then, because there's no cafeteria, then there's no generalized health
protocol.
Yeah, what the children can eat. So then you turn around, and what we're doing is we're steering the young people directly to the hospital with these refined food diets. We're pushing them to the hospital, but then we can't facilitate health care. So in fact, we really don't care because we're driving people. That's why you have infant diabetes and all these different diseases affecting infants. I mean toddlers. I mean young people in general. Because
mm-hmm.
I see people with diabetes and colitis and things and certain diseases and constipation, 15, 16 years old, and they don't understand why they're having bleeding from the anus and hemorrhoids at the age 14, 15, because they're eating too much refined foods. They're clogging up their intestines with non-fiber food that can no fiber.
Yeah.
Rich in calories and no nutrients, no fiber, no nothing.
52, so, you could imagine little children today talking about they don't eat vegetables?
Boy, listen, I push my nuts and things and Tommen and my daughter out early in the morning time. Aaron, I got an investigation for you to do, right?
Yes, sir.
There's a Tommen tree just south of your homestead, I think, on the hill there by the box. I went by my friend 2 weeks ago, and it's still at Tommen. So that, I think the tree cheating. I don't know what's going on with that.
What?
But they right there. I mean, they didn't bear for the year from last year, but they still have Tommen on it. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, you know, Tommen season should be opening up right now.
Yeah, but just have Tommen on it.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I got to go check that out.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, 52, eh? You have a great day. I got a text here, producer. The text say, Miss Green, you talk too much. You keep people on the phone holding all day, only to be hung up on. Dear texter, we only get 3 calls this morning, and there's only 1 call I miss, and the person hang up after like 15, 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. Right? I sorry. I apologize. Is that a new caller, producer? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I climbed on Tamron Tree 2 years ago. And it burned this year for the first time. And it loaded down the tree only about 7 to 8 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't really as high as a basketball rim. So you imagine a little low.
Yeah.
And this thing bent now. I don't know what they taste like yet because it's the first time. The only thing I tasted is, you know, when you're women pregnant, they got orange, they were green, tamarind, dip it, salted black pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the stage that it's not, the green stage. So,
all right.
I really right them to make no jam and thing, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she just bent. I noticed, like, in my yard, and they tell me I got a green thumb because everything I throw in the ground is grow. By the time Sparky got a green thumb, he got a golden arm.
Sparky
it
did.
If I drop it in the ground, it grow. But you know what I wanted to say, Miss Green, before you give me my 30 seconds?
Yeah, yeah.
This thing you were talking about, here, you were blowing up the inland revenue. But let me tell you something, Ms. Green. That was false what you were saying.
Which part?
I must tell you this is my second time in a row.
Which part,
Sparky? That the license expires on December the 31st every year. My second time in a row.
Hold on, I got that from their website.
See, you already talking, but you ain't talking what you know.
What you mean what I know? I could only know what they tell me, Sparky.
Come on, let me tell you what I experienced. You go there. I went there as soon as I could after December 31st. You know, we had Chowkanoo and all that kind of thing at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Now I go to inland revenue because I got other things I got to do which involves inland revenue.
Mm-hmm.
You got national insurance. you got parks and beaches, you got different places that you have to go to get straight.
Yeah.
But they want to take from Edward Avenue. So you went to Edward Avenue, as soon as you could get there after December 31st, okay, they take your application, they take the old copy, the old application, they tell you come back in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a week. So I went there was December, it was January, but he told it, right after Junkanoo. They said come back in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the 29th of January.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? They ain't ready yet. So now I got to go back to National Insurance to tell them that Inland Revenue ain't ready yet, which means I can't deal with National Insurance, which means when they go to Parks and Beaches, I can't deal with them because Inland Revenue ain't ready yet. Now, Miss Reed, imagine having to drive from Nassau East to Inland Revenue down Carmichael Road twice a day.
But did you...
Hold on, let me tell you something.
I just want to know if your business license expired. Sparky, I just want to know if your business license expired on December 31st, you know, because you call the station and tell me I's a liar. I tell the untruth. And you won't even listen to me no more. That was the most offensive part, though, Sparky, when you said you didn't want to listen to me no more. Don't be saying things like that. You almost break my heart just now. But I think the point is, Inland Revenue, even being one of the best performing agencies in the government, is still incumbent upon you to understand that you can't stop working on improving. You're the benchmark. You've got to be able to move at the pace of development. You've got to be able to move at a pace that can propel development, not just maintain the momentum, but propel it forward. People relying on you for you to get it right so everything else could fall in place. And that's for every government ministry. Particularly PHA. The people are literally depending on you doing your job for their survival. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And let's go straight to the text line. It says, Erin, could you send us evidence to prove what you just said, that a large portion of the people living in shanty towns are Bahamians? Where did you get those numbers? I didn't actually give a number. But I appreciate what you're saying. A large percentage a large portion of the people living in shanty towns are Bahamians. Wasn't that the premise of Lincoln Baines' whole protest, that Bahamians have no place to live while Haitians are taking over shanty, taking over crown land and building themselves homes? The shanty town issue is primarily a housing crisis issue. It becomes a critical national security issue, right? Because unscrupulous employers who bring in migrants on work permits don't care about where they live, and in many instances direct them to the shanty towns to go find quote-unquote affordable housing, which then provides a space for the undocumented, or like y'all like to say, illegal migrant to come in and hide in that space. See, it's what you believe, and then it's what the laws say. And if you have been following the subsequent conversations from the injunction was what, from 2018? Right? The injunction was from 2018. But from minutes that image of minutes, from minutes that he kicked down the door of the building to now, if you've been listening to the dialogue, if you've been reading the stories, listening to successive politicians from FNM to PLP, then you would understand that the shanty town issue is different from the illegal landing issue, and the intersection, right? The intersection is the illegal migrant that would hide in the shanty town. But the primary issue of the shanty town is that we have a housing crisis, and there's not sufficient affordable and accessible housing inventory for working class Bahamians, while we prioritize selling homes to foreigners and inviting tourists to come to our country and subsidizing their you know, heads in beds, subsidizing the bad part of the heads in beds. Texas says, no, shanty issue is a lawbreaker's issue. We can't try to justify breaking laws. Nobody tried to justify breaking laws. Why do y'all always feel like somebody explaining to you something is them trying to justify wrongdoing? I'm explaining something to you. I never justified breaking laws. And he goes on to say, if we do that, what's the point of having laws? He says, I'm not FNM or PLP or COI, by the way. Dear Texas, you look around you. You think Bahamians care about laws? Oh, I want to say to that handsome young man that's back on his ATV, pushing his way, forming a third lane with a four-wheeler ATV, your back license plate fell off somewhere. I don't know where, but it fell off, and you need to stop doing that, buddy. In fact, dear Royal Bahamas Police Force, I won't get back to this crime report, you know. What was missing from the social media reports over the weekend, and what I don't see in today's paper, are the traffic stats. I don't see any statistics. I don't see any traffic report. Now, maybe I haven't delved through the entire newspaper properly, deeply enough, but it should have been a big headline in bold, say, traffic report. Increase in traffic fatalities. Increase in assaults related to vehicular accidents. You know, when people hit your car and then get out your car and threaten to kill you or hurt you? Yeah. We need to see a statement on the status of the turn left on red policy. I would like to know how many accidents were caused by people turning left on red when they were not authorized to turn left on red. And I want to know how many people caused traffic accidents because they turned right on red. Dear Royal Bahamas Police Force, at some point, at any point, would y'all please, enforce traffic controls. And I don't mean stand in front of the Hilton so that tourists could feel comfortable as they come off the cruise ship, you know. That ain't what I'm talking about. Because less than 50 yards away on Cumberland Street, where Blue Hill Road intersects with King or Duke Street, right there. Right there, every day, a multitude of traffic infractions. It's obvious you're not concerned about that. You're not concerned about moderating traffic. Y'all see it. Anyway, is it an ends to a means or a means to an end? But it ain't about traffic enforcement. Texas. Miss Green, I don't think Sparky know you from Fox Hill. You should talk to him in Fox Hill terminology. No, man, senior Sparky's a senior man to me. And there's no need for that. The private schools have cafeterias. Yes, the private, the private schools have cafeterias. But what are they serving? How often are they open? And how many lunch vendors and people cooking in cafeterias can turn to you and say, but we could only cook what the children want to eat. We all push any manner of your personal belief into these children's heads, but then you can turn around and say, really what it's about is I want to make money. I got a text. I said that was a bit harsh. I know it's a little bit more complex than that, but ultimately, we're talking about fueling our children and preparing them for the most important stages of their lives. A text, I had business client come in on weekend and went to stay at Atlantis. No man texter. I don't. No text, I don't believe that. Okay. If anybody is aware of this, Texter, I can give me a moment. I can take a picture of this text and I can investigate before I read this on air. That's wild, Texter. That's what the taxi's doing? That's wild. Not all taxis. It's a specific thing. I'm going to investigate that. Another text. Traffic police too busy. Texas said traffic police are busy focusing on white collar crime in the Western District. And I was about to say, I thought you were going to say that the traffic police are overwhelmed responding to gang and drug activity, right? And community violence. So like the patrol, saturation patrols, things like that have them. But I thought you were going to say that. You know? Wow. Okay, another text. I ain't gonna tell Papa that on the air, man. No, man. I'm gonna take a picture of this one as well. I'm not gonna tell anybody that on the air. Another text. Good morning, Miss Green. 5 years is a long time for the magistrate not to rule on that situation. Justice delayed is justice denied. That's why the Haitians building more houses without a plan. The houses in the shanty town is out of control. Like, I feel you, because there are many reasons why. First of all, the environmental concerns. Second of all, there is the property, the crown land and property ownership issue, right? Then there's a housing crisis, but to get to the bottom of this problem, people, we have a housing crisis. We don't have enough migrants to match the pace of, we don't have enough laborers to match the pace of development, and we don't have enough housing inventory for laborers to go and work on family islands, and we don't have enough housing inventory for Bahamians and documented migrants. We just don't. That's where it begins. Miss Green, question, do we have an opposition Look here, Texas, that's a great question. I'm going to tell you why. Because on Friday, when the prime minister said, well, we've done all that we could do, I thought to myself, you know what? If Bradley Roberts was the chairman, rest in peace, was the chairman of the PLP, he would have had a whole, and they were in opposition, he would have had a whole cabinet lineup in the front of the House of Assembly and said, what you say? You can't do no more? You ain't got no more ideas? We're ready to take over. And I wondered, where was the good leader of the opposition, the Honorable Michael Pintard, when the Prime Minister dared to utter those words in public? It's a good question. Do we have an opposition? A text says, can this old sunken Lady Rosalind please be removed out of the harbor from blocking up the docking area? I mean, I can't even believe that that's a question, Texter. Thank you for asking it. I can't even believe you had to ask it. Because the Lady Rosalind is a part of the mailboat fleet. And the mailboat fleet, I mean, the status of mailboat travel was already mashup. Family Island is already suffering. And so you telling me not only is a boat down, but the boat sitting in the harbor as if somebody hoping it'll resurrect itself and continue its route? Okay, dear Texter, I get you. I'm going to document these. I can check it. Wow. I can check it. Texter says, you respect Papa because he is blind, eh? But Papa will say anything he wants to say to others. Okay, so the text was, and I like how you rephrase it, eh? Say, tell Papa that people in glass houses don't throw stones. I could say that. I could say that, Texter. That's Papa, that's what the boy say. But I respect Papa because Papa been on the airwaves longer than I have. And Papa has learned how to engage both the media house and the general public. Papa teach me things about being on the radio and engaging on the radio. And so I show Papa a degree of respect because Papa shows great respect to the listening audience. And that's what it is. Dear Texter, why would you speak about my father like that? And you said I was very insulting to Sparky. Let's close out the show with this. Sparky called the show and called me a liar and then didn't want to tell me what I lied about. And then it turns out that I didn't tell a lie. Yeah, you heard what I said? So what if Sparky knew my father? He may have known him better than I knew him. What does that mean? Anyway, I would just appreciate if y'all would stop being so aggressive. Or passive aggressive is a better term. When you call in, we don't have to disagree. We could even row, but we're not going to be rude and disrespectful to each other. That's what we call for. That's what it calls for. The taxi. Morning. Minister Jobeth got away. Wow. We can't say that. I just telling you the headline, quote, insufficient evidence, close quote, over Colby Davis says more than it doesn't say. It says plenty. Anyway, their call on the line is 11:02. I'm sorry, I got to go. I'm out of time. Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Got me sticking around. Whoa, I think I'm bullet girl, but I